Sing your siren song to me.
Hey, you're listening to The Morning Show with Aaron. You're listening to the sound of Wilkie Mack. And in fact, I have Wilkie Mack in the studio. Welcome, Michael and Lynn.
Hi, Aaron.
Good morning.
Good morning. So we've still, you can't hear it, but I've still got the music playing in the background. And this is a new song. This song, actually, Michael, you just went across the road to the car and got this out because you're about to post this off to where?
Stibbings. Stibbings Recording Studio in Ponsonby.
So I hope we don't break the CD while we're here.
We've got three masters of each CD, so
okay,
we'll be okay.
But oh, that's good. So Wilkie Mack's going to be playing at the old school on Friday, live and local. What time does that start? Do we know?
The doors open at 7 and it starts at 7:30.
There we go. Okay. Well done. I was just trying to look across the room. So, Lynn, I want to welcome you into the studio. Folks who don't know, Lynn's one of our life members, has been involved in the radio station off and on longer than I have, and I've always wanted to interview you about music, and for some reason it's never happened. Last time we were about to do it, and I think COVID hit.
Yes.
Something like that.
I'm going to get you closer.
Okay.
So, yes, thank you for coming to the studio. We've interviewed you about other things, like business things, but this is a completely different topic this time around.
Yes, I'm wearing one of my many hats.
One of your many hats. So, Wilkie Mack is your guys' last names, Wilkins and Michael. What's your last name?
McKinnon.
McKinnon, that was it. Yeah, yeah. So, and we heard from the, we can hear the music. Folk music? Are we saying folk music? Is that how you describe yourselves?
Yeah, yeah. We are folk musicians, really. I mean, that's such a broad description.
I know.
Nowadays.
Yeah,
yeah. Basically, we play acoustic guitars. That puts us in that acoustic category anyway.
Yeah.
But we do quite a range of music. The song that's on now is one of mine, but we do a lot of traditional music as well. So
okay, because we've got a CD here. I think that's what we were going to interview you about a few years ago, is songs of Robbie Burns.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah. Those are all, how old are those songs?
Oh, about 250 years
some
old.
Some of the tunes are 1,000 years old.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. He collected songs and maybe put more verses or matched words to very old tunes. So,
right.
Yeah.
And as the language, is it English?
Well, it's in Scots, and so it's some of the words are Scots who are hey, as Scots who have.
Right.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of deciphering to do in some of the lyrics.
Yeah. So how do you? You must have heard other people sing these songs before, have you? So,
of course,
yes.
Yeah.
It's traditional music that have been sung traditionally for a long time.
Well, yeah, that's right. It's been around a while, as we've just discussed. But the music that you're going to play on Friday night, what's that?
That's going to be a mix. We're going to be playing with our good friend Chrissy Jackson, who's a fiddle player.
Yeah,
she is appearing on some of our new recordings. And we're going to be doing a few live gigs with her over the next few months. But it's going to be a mix. Chrissy's playing on some of my work, on some traditional stuff. And we're sort of just putting together our set list for tomorrow. But it'll be fun. We've played with her a lot. So, we're really just picking our faves for tomorrow night. So.
And now you played, I think I saw you at the first Live and Local, was it the very first one?
I believe it was.
Yes,
and
it was.
We were really honoured to be asked by the organiser, Penny Bousfield, to be part of that, because it has turned out to be such an amazing monthly event for Raglan, and the talent that is turning up every month is just fantastic.
Have you seen some of the young people we've got around? Like, I'm talking to ones who are still at school at the moment.
Yes, yeah. And it's just wonderful that we've got this this vehicle for those young ones to get their chances to play on stage, share their own compositions in many cases. And back in the day, and it's sort of become a bit unfashionable to think about folk clubs, but that is what the folk clubs used to encourage as well. For young people, not just to do traditional music, but do their own compositions, maybe even play a song or share a song with mum or dad when they were quite young on stage. So this is just carrying on with that tradition.
It's folk music's the music that people play, but very much acoustically, because it comes from a past time originally, but very much Luna played last month at the Live and Local, and she was great, and she did modern songs, acoustic music, but for me that loosely fits under the same umbrella. And when we did the music for Shakespeare in the Park last year, it was all 80s songs that we did, and that's where I come from. I was born in the 50s, so 70s, 80s was my music. And so those songs came out quite easily, and they often do, and often at parties and things we do those songs. So we're certainly not locked into folk music as such.
Yeah.
But and I think folk music's got a bit of a bad rap. The name folk music means different things, I suspect, to me and Lynn than it does to a lot of other people.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's any music that has ceased to be owned just by the one artist who created it. And if it's from hundreds of years ago, obviously that's the case. But there's other songs, there's more modern songs where that's kind of happened, where the public has taken the song, and you know, the listeners have taken the song, and it means something to other people. There's a White Stripes song that gets played at music events all the time, and that's, I mean, maybe that's just a commercial stadium making something happening and getting the crowd excited, but it has taken on a life of its own. And I think Jack White would say that's, you know, it's not his song anymore. To me, that's what folk music is.
Yeah, well, it is literally music for folk.
Yeah, for people, which means people, so yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a very broad definition, actually. Music for people. Oh, okay. Yeah.
There's normally a story involved in the songs as well.
Yeah.
Rather than just a, you know, I will walk 500 miles, etc. You know? which is a great song, and we do it on regular basis when we do when we do Scottish dances.
Do you do the Scottish accent?
Yeah,
Michael does.
Yes, he does. He does.
I
do my mix of, you know, Canadian, New Zealand.
Your accent. Unplaceable accent.
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah, do you still get people asking you where you're from when they meet you?
People generally assume the South Island now, which is interesting, because coming back to that whole Scottish influence, my parents are Kiwis, but I grew up in Canada, in Ontario, which has a very strong Scottish influence on the population, and so does the South Island of New Zealand, so that roll of the R's and things like that.
They think you're from Gore.
Yeah, well, that's right, and I can certainly say it like someone from Gore.
Yeah, well, if we all practice, we can say like that. It's kind of funny. So the music, we just played the song. You got the CD that's about to go in the post up to Stebbings. What's happening with the song that we just played then, and the others that are on there?
Well, they'll put those CDs onto CDs. We still like the old way of doing things with the CDs. And it was recorded a stereo, and most of the, and even at home at the moment, our stereo, we haven't got a stereo at the moment at home. And so you miss that left right thing. Which Robbie Duncan, who did it, who's an absolutely amazing producer, he's got a wonderful feel for music, but he spends a lot of time on that left right, and so when you listen to it in stereo, it's a fuller experience, and we've also got it. We will be putting it onto was it Lynn's Spotify and all those and iTunes.
It
will all be available on there as well for people who don't,
even
have a CD player anymore. Yes. But we do. Well, we're old school in that regard, and we love our CDs.
Well, we've got CD players here in the studio. I was just thinking at home, the last one we had broke. So, and you can't actually buy them. I went to point for the station. We were like, oh, we need some backup CD players in case these ones break. And I just couldn't. Well, there's ones that live DJs use, which are about $2,000. And we're like, well, we're not going there. This is a community station. All I could have got, and this was quite a few years ago, all I could have got was a DVD player, but the buttons are all on a remote control. And so you lose the remote control, which is very likely in a public space like this, then that would be it. But so far, we've got good CD players from probably pre-2000, but they're doing well. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think in some of the concerts that we do, which are tend to be more in that folk sort of area, like folk festivals and that, people do like to buy the CDs at those kind of events and those kind of concerts.
Tangible.
Yeah, and we like that too. I mean, we might still then, once we own the CD, put it on our own device and listen to it online.
Yeah.
But it's just something nice to have. You've got a photo and, you know, so sometimes a bit of a blurb and that's just...
artwork.
Yeah.
Have you got some artwork organised?
Yes, we're in the process of getting that finalised as well. So that's all fun part of putting the whole project together as well, because neither of us are really visual artists. So
you got some help?
We have got some wonderful help from Ezra Andre, who's a former Raglan resident and the daughter of our very good friend and bandmate from a lineup we used to call Twisted Timber, Renee Andre. So Ezra is his daughter and she's doing the graphic design for us.
Because I've got the one we were talking about, the album of Robbie Burns' music, the Guinea Stamp. Like, I've got that here in the studio, and it's not just a plastic CD. Like, you've got a cardboard thing with a sleeve, and you've got photos and words. Obviously, is it going to be kind of like that again?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely, no plastic except for the CD.
Yeah, except for the CD.
Yes.
Yeah, can't avoid that. So, the other songs, are that the song we just heard, which was, what was it called again? It's on the CD, so I can't read it.
Oh, okay, that's called Black Sand. That song's been around a while.
Yeah.
It's finally come of age and been recorded, which I'm really, really happy about. I actually wrote it in a very short time frame, walking on the Raglan beach.
But when did you write it?
Oh, gosh, I knew you were going to ask me that. I would say probably around 2007, 2008.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's been around a long time, and I do play it a lot in various venues when we're on tour. You know, Wilkie Mac plays it, and so people know it well, and one or two other people are playing it now around New Zealand, which is very cool.
Okay, so this is a... I don't want to call it an underground folk scene. I just say underground just because I'm not aware of it. But obviously there's a folk scene. So,
yes.
Yeah. So you're going to be going to play other places, play this music in other places?
Yes, and not just folk clubs. There's some, as we start getting our tour fully booked, we'll be doing some theatres and things like that. So it'll be quite a mix.
Okay.
When you're playing with someone like Chrissy Jackson, she's quite well known as a fiddle player with other lineups as well. So and it's a real privilege to be able to play with a musician of her calibre, but it also means she's... knows people who knows people.
Right.
So that's quite helpful.
The three of you are going on tour soon?
Yes. Yes. Yep. Early next year from...
we start in February.
February, that's right.
Because that's our official CD launch, which will be at the Old School.
All right.
And we'll just stay local. And then from there, we've got house concerts all over the place. And we've applied for a number of festivals that we're... sort of, well, you can't expect them, we can't say yet because the applications are only just due to go in. But we're sort of quietly confident, hopeful would be better.
Yeah. So,
and we're sort of hopefully expecting to be playing in some quite larger concerts.
There are an endless array of festivals throughout all types of music these days. I can't even keep up with where they're all happening. There's even I know there was a bluegrass one happening in Morrinsville and Matamata.
Yeah. Chrissy will probably be a big part of that as well. That's one of her genres too. So, yeah. There's all sorts of small festivals, private festivals, sometimes invitation only.
Really?
But you know, when you say small, you're still talking audiences of a couple of hundred people at least. So, yeah, it's a really interesting... as you say, maybe a little underground, but not.
There's something about the baby boomer generation. I think music, I don't know, because I'm not part of it, but I feel like music played a bigger part in their lives than it did previous generations. And I think as older people with a little bit of money, they're still keen to go out to gigs and concerts and festivals and things like that, I think. And there's a whole scene out there, like the folk scene is one. I'm not saying it's all older people who go either, but I think it's different. I think things are different to the way they used to be, you know, a generation ago.
The festival that we're going to on the 27th of December, through to the 2nd, it finishes, that's never advertised. It's all been word of mouth, and there'll be at least 200 people, 200-300 people there. And it will range from folk music to country to some lighter rock. There won't be any trash metal.
Well, you never know. There might be someone who folkizes one of those.
That's right. Yeah. So, but acoustic, there's lots of festivals like
acoustic
that.
Thrash. Maybe.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And I think the festival scene like that one, which is on private land, those are intergenerational. So one of the things you're right. I don't think I don't remember my parents being into music. In the same way, the stereo was usually on, and they listened to the crooners and that sort of thing. But the going to gigs was certainly not something that I did with my parents. But having said that, that our children and now grandchildren, they go to some of these festivals, they go to concerts. You see three generations at some.
There's lots of festivals are a family event these days. There's people who organise the Earthbeat one locally, and that's very much that kind of thing.
Folk festivals have always been like that, and on the singing thing, I was brought. My mother sang all the time; she didn't stop singing. Yeah. And there was always, and if she wasn't singing, then there was a record on, and I was brought up with that, so I was brought up singing.
A lot of musicians. A lot of musicians grew up like that. Although it sounds like you didn't so much.
No, I was the cuckoo in the nest of my family.
Okay, right.
But it was my grandmother apparently who, I found this out later. But she sang all around Tokomaru Bay, was in great demand to sing at weddings and funerals and things like that. So that's where my instinct, I guess, and love of music has come from. It's skipped a generation, basically.
Yeah. Do you feel? Sorry. Back a step. The song we'd played before. You've already played that 100 times to people. Is there new music that you're bringing to an audience soon? That's on that album EP.
Oh, yes.
What are we calling it?
Oh, that one of which is the collection of my songs is called When the West Wind Blows, and that is actually the title track of a song I finished in the studio earlier this year. So yes, there is some new stuff.
Is there a sense of trepidation about bringing new music to a crowd?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Not for me.
Not for you, Michael. Why not?
Well, I didn't write them.
Oh.
I'm just a monkey. I just copy things, and so I don't have much trepidation at all, really. In life, really.
Have you had, I guess you've had the whole gamut of experiences to, well, that was underwhelming to, the crowd was very excited about
course.
It and you don't know how it's going to be.
Oh, I think we know that it's going to be okay at the worst because we're played and the mechanical side of it got sorted out. And so now you can just sort of focus on the music. You don't have to think about what the chord is, and I don't have to think about what the words are because I learn them. So then I can just sort of be there more with the people who are listening and more involved in the music. And so I'm more worried. I'm more interested and focused on the flow of it all and how it's all tied, how the vocals tying together with the music and the flow of the music and how the guitar sort of mixes with the vocals and all that sort of stuff. So and then also listening to Lynn or other people that we're playing with and getting all that tied together so that it's one whole thing. So we're not playing the same thing individually, but we're playing the same thing together.
So you're way too busy to worry about whether people will like it.
Oh no! A situation just last year when we did a Daft song called "Other Poetry Kid," and when we had the whole crowd in stitches except for one woman, and she had the face like a chewed up mint, and I thought, my God! And then afterwards, she came up after. Well, anyway, a fleeting sort of like 5 second thing, and then back to the music, and then afterwards, she came up with some other people and said, really enjoyed that song. It was one of the best things. God knows.
So you can't
worry too much. No.
Yeah, because you'll just misinterpret.
Well, they might be thinking about the woman who's just over there, or the person like just over there that they just had a little fight with. You know, and so there's so many other things that can take people away from the actual moment of the song. So
yeah,
we can't worry too much about it. We just have to do the best that we can. Yeah. And if we're happy with it, then mostly people are happy with it.
But Lynn, you're going to worry anyway.
Well. No, actually, when we're actually playing together, we have fun, and we've always had fun. Occasionally, you know, something goes wrong, an instrument breaks a string or something, and you kind of go, oh, well, and, you know, improvise if you need to. But other than those kind of things, I generally have fun once I'm up there. Where my trepidation sort of sits is with my own music and what people will think. And sometimes I get some really interesting comments about what people think I'm singing about when the song wasn't about that. But then...
That's quite normal though, isn't it? Interpreting lyrics.
Yeah, and it's just, it's like poetry or, you know, most forms of written work. People will put their own, or bring their own experience to it, or put their own stamp on it. And I guess the thing is, I can take it as a, I guess, a compliment that they've listened to the words, because some people don't. And
You know what? I don't listen to the lyrics very often. It's just the way I'm wired. I'm enjoying the groove, the vibe, or just the sound of the music, the melody. Yeah.
There is actually some studies on that. It's quite gender focused, not putting everyone in the categories, but women do tend to listen to the lyrics more than men.
I remember if I have to perform a song and somebody, I decide to sing, do a song because I really like what you were talking about, the flow of it and et cetera.
Yeah.
Then sometimes I start learning the words thinking, oh my God, no, I'm not singing that. I'm not saying that in public.
I didn't realise what that said.
Exactly. And lots of songs like that. And I can sing hundreds of songs from my childhood that I have no idea what they were about. I might get the words out of order, but I'll remember all the words and all the tunes.
It must
whole
be
melody.
Disappointing for someone who's crafted their lyrics so carefully.
That's right.
To hear people like me and Michael talking. I don't know what the heck that was. Yeah.
I'm more aware of it now because of that. Being aware of the fact that I never used to listen to lyrics, I tend to listen to them more now.
Yeah, you've learnt your lesson.
Maybe.
Hey, unfortunately, I have to interview someone else this morning. Well, I'm sure I'll enjoy that interview too. But we've got another song, another CD in here, and we were going to play a track off there. But what's that? That's the second CD. Do you remember what that was?
Yeah.
I'm sure you do.
Of course.
This is like your big CD you're about to get mastered.
The pleasure will be mine.
Is that track two?
That's track two.
Yes.
Track two.
That's actually the title track. Shall we?
So are these two albums that have been produced?
Yes.
So the first one is Your Music, Lynn, that we played that earlier, and that's under the name Lynn Wilkins.
No, they're both under Wilkie Mac because we perform the songs. But on the one CD, they're all my own compositions. On the other one, they're compositions by a mixture of traditional, you know, lost in the mists of time writers in many cases, or we do know who the writer was, but they lived, you know, more than 100 years ago or something. And then some more modern ones, like, for example, actually the first track on that might be a good one,
because it's
a New Zealand song by Peter Cape, and at the end of it there is a waltz that I wrote, so we have sort of mixed it up a little bit in the second CD as well.
So this is a New Zealand song by Peter Cape, and it's called Black Matai, and also called the Dear Colours Lament. Very much
it's got
New
two
Zealand.
Names.
Yes.
Yeah, well, brackets, the Dear Colours Lament.
Yeah.
It's very much a Kiwi song anyway.
Okay, so folks, we've been talking to Lynn and Michael from Wilkie Mac, and the live and local gig is this Friday. Doors open 7:30? No, doors at 7. Doors at 7. It's Koha entry, isn't it?
Yep.
Yes.
It is still Koha entry, and Matt Cambick and the Blister Sisters also playing. Who's on first? Who's on second? Who's on third? This is not a joke.
I'm pretty sure Matt's on first. Yeah. I think we're second, and then the Blister Sisters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Same order as on the poster then.
Yes.
I wasn't expecting that for some reason. All right, let's start playing the song. So this is... you kind of talked about the song already, haven't you?
Yeah. Mm.
It's that CD player. I'm just not used to using CD players anymore. Here we go. Here it comes. All right. So just remind us the name of the track.
What's
called Black Matai.
Black Matai. Thank you, Michael and Lynn.
Thanks, Aaron.
The snow's on the tops, fire's burning down. What are you singing? East wind in my tie. My love's left the station, she's gone to the town. What are you chattering? Tall mountain birches, the wind's in the west, rain's pelting down. The flash floods are coming, I'm bound to keep moving. My love's left the station, she's gone to the town. Rifle, the 80-pound pack that keeps dragging me down. I'll get out of these mountains, get back to the sheepyard. My love's left the station, she's gone to the town. What are you whispering? Wind in the snow grass, combing the tussocks, folding them down. My love's hair was golden, like snow grass in summer. My love's left the station, she's gone to the town.